First Peter chapter 3, if you turn there with me, on Wednesday nights we're going through the Truth Project. I encourage you, if you're not coming out, to come out to that. We've learned a lot, but also it is a time for Christians to know why they believe. It's a very strange time to be alive in our generation. There's many people that have not heard the truth, have not heard the Word of God. Unfortunately, they've heard another gospel that's been preached, a more social gospel that anything goes. And they need to hear the truth. And all of us are going to need to know why we believe. I believe the Word of God encourages us to be defenders of the faith. And so this morning I want to talk to you about contending for the faith. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your glory and your presence in our lives, God. We're so very thankful for all that you do for us, God. We sometimes take that for granted, God. Sometimes we just take it for granted that other people would hear like we do, but Father, they've not yet heard the truth. Many have been talked into accepting a gospel that indeed is not the gospel preached. God, it's another gospel. And so, Father, we pray that we would have the temerity and the boldness to speak and defend what your word says. In love, yes. In patience, yes. In comfort, yes. But Lord, that we would speak the truth. We thank you for your word, Lord. Let it speak to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Verse 15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is in the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once a divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. I wanted to read verse 15 in context so we see the goal. The challenge is that we're going to be not always patted on the back for our belief. And that's why a lot of people kind of tend to not be obedient to verse 15. It says that we need to be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks us. And I believe people are asking without knowing what they're asking for. And when we have a chance to speak to them about the love and the grace and the mercy of God, and the need for salvation, the need for repentance, that we should do it, knowing that sometimes we'll be persecuted for that, but we still must speak the truth. My contention is that we live in an age and a generation where people have made up their minds without having all the information. They can't make an informed decision because they've not heard the truth. They've made a decision based on lies. They made a decision based on a God that just is a willy-nilly God. Just he takes whatever you want to do, it's fine with him. As long as you accept him, as long as you pay reverence to him, as long as you attend a church or maybe not even attend a church anymore. It's becoming unpopular to even do that now. We must tell people far beyond the four steps or the five steps to the cross. We must share with them. And God will give the increase. Amen? Amen. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 says, holding fast a faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. All of us have relatives and friends that think what we believe is crazy. All of us have those people that say we don't really want to hear it anymore, but we need to pray that we could have conversation again. One of the things that's happened in this nation is we can't even have a normal conversation without somebody getting angry. And we've kind of taken on that kind of attitude ourselves, so we get angry at people. Number one, let's not get angry with people. They're blind and deaf. Just like you and I were. Our eyes were open, our ears were open to the truth. If you're a believer this morning, the reason they are open to the truth is Christ has done something within you. You're born again. So your ears and your eyes are naturally open. We forget that their eyes and ears are closed to the gospel, but wide open to this social gospel that has become so prevalent in our day and age. 2 Timothy, Paul's writing Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now he's talking to Timothy, but I believe that's for all of us, that we should know what we believe and we know how to share it. People love formulas, so we all, you know, we kind of memorize the four steps. The four spiritual laws. How many know there's much more to the Word of God than that? And that not everybody is going to come to Christ in four steps. We've made easy believism exactly that, easy believism. And we do danger when we just pray with somebody and say, okay, you're okay. You don't have to change anything in your life. Just pray this prayer. Now you're saved. Come on, someone. We've got to learn how to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Not just a few words to somebody. Second Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have the instruction book right here. And we need to make it part of our lives. Story goes, a man went to a barber shop to have his hair cut. And as he was talking to the barber, they had a good conversation. They talked about many things. And the subject of God came up. And the barber said, I don't believe that God exists. And the customer said, why do you think that? And he said, well, just look out in the street and realize that God doesn't exist. If he exists, would there be so many sick people? Would there be abandoned children? If God existed, would there be suffering and pain? I don't think so. I can't imagine a loving God who would allow all of these things. And so the customer thought for a moment. He didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument with the barber. The barber finished his job and the customer left the shop. And just outside the shop, he saw a man in the street with long, stringy, dirty hair and an untrimmed beard. So he went back in the barber shop and he said, you know what? Barbers don't exist. The barber said, how can you say that? You just got your hair cut by me and I just worked on you and your hair doesn't look like it did when you came in. He said, nope, barbers don't exist because if they did, there would be no people with dirty, long hair and untrimmed beards like that man outside. And barber said, but barbers do exist. What happens is people do not come to me. Exactly, affirmed the customer. That's the point. God, too, does exist. What happens is people don't go to him and look to him for help. Bible's a wonderful book. It was written by 40 individuals over 1,500 years. It was included a farmer, Amos, a doctor, Luke, ministers, Ezra and James, political leaders, David and Solomon, political prisoners, Daniel, John, a musician, Asaph, a fisherman, Peter, and a tax collector, Matthew. 1,189 chapters, 31,173 verses, 807,361 words, all glorifying God. How many know we have a wealth of information at our fingertips? Amen. We just heard a testimony by Richard this morning about YouVersion, and that's just one of hundreds of versions that are available to people. We have no excuse. Why should we defend the faith? There's just several reasons I'd like to cover this morning. False doctrines are everywhere today. I always tell people, very careful what you watch on TV, what you take through your eye gate and your ear gate, what you listen to on the radio. There's so much false doctrine out there. Come on, someone. Universalism is one of the biggest false doctrines today. All ways are right and all people will be saved. One of the anchor people in Oral Roberts' ministry decided several years ago that he was a universalist. Has thousands of people attending his church right now. Always get to God. Another false doctrine is the New Age movement. Eastern influence emphasizing tolerance and doing what feels good. And man is divine. Legalism is running rampant, using the law to attain salvation. Holiness is attained through rituals. That's the other side of the coin. Hyper grace is one that's very popular now. Freedom from demands. Anything goes. You can live any type of life and you're still going to get to heaven. I'd like to know where they found that in the Word. And one of the biggest movements is called the Emergent, E-M-E-R-G-A-N-T, or the Emerging Church. Claims to be Christian. They employ culturally sensitive methods to make the gospel look good. Jesus' life was more of an allegory instead of the actual life of Christ. We heard about, last week, we heard about the red letter committee that believes that only just a few words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were actually spoken by Christ, and it's about 85% of the New Testament, the four Gospels, weren't really spoken by Christ. We live in a nation that 21% believe the Bible is God's Word, those polled. 28% believe it's actually the Word of God, but with various interpretations. 28% believe it's inspired but not to be taken literally. And 18% believe it's just a book of legends. My friend, we do not live in a vacuum. The outcome of this sea of unbelief and doing what's right in your own eyes will result in millions lost. The challenge has never been any more succinct than it is right this moment. There's a challenge for us to rise to the occasion. Amen. How long do we need to wait until we see a complete wave of unbelief that we see now in this nation? Apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to give reason or defense. Christian apologetics is a field of theology that not only explains what Christians believe, but why they believe it. In other words, a Christian who apologizes is not one who apologizes for the faith, but gives defense of the faith. Give a reply. Our voices need to be heard. Long ago, 17th century theologian Blaise Pascal stated that humans will bet their lives that either God exists or that He does not. Based on the assumption that the stakes are infinite if God exists, there's a probability factor that's just very common. A rational person will say, if God exists and I don't accept Him, I'm going to be separated from Him for an eternity. If he doesn't exist, I just paid a small price. I can remember years ago, I've given this testimony before, but I was called in. This lady was had 5 heart attacks. Her family had asked me to come in. They had witnessed to her for years. She was probably close to 80 years old, and she wasn't going to make it through the night. And they asked me if I would share the plan of salvation with her. And so I sat beside her bed. She was hooked up to all these tubes. And so I shared the plan of salvation with her, asked her if she'd like to receive Christ. She said, "No, thank you. Thank you for sharing, but I'm really not interested." She was sweet about it. She wasn't mean. She's very weak. And so I thought maybe she wasn't in her right mind and I should share again. So I took time. And I shared with her again. When I got to the end, I asked her if she would like to pray with me to receive Christ in her heart. She said, "Thank you very much for coming, but I'm not interested." There are going to be people in our lives that won't accept. We can't stop. That doesn't stop us from sharing. Not everybody will be saved. But God desires that everybody be saved. And if we leave it up to TV, radio, and preachers, we'll get what we got right now. We've got a generation growing up that has no idea what the true gospel is. They've been sold a bill of goods. They've been sold another gospel. Pascal said, "Men despise religion. They hate it and fear it as true. To remedy this, we must begin by showing that religion is not contrary to reason. We must inspire respect for it. Then we must make it lovable to make good men hope it's true. Finally, we must prove that it's true." And how do we prove that? By living it. We must live the gospel again, especially in this nation. We've moved away from Judeo-Christian roots and into a world characterized by relativism and corruption. We've went through many things. We've come to what theologians call the postmodern age. That means no one has an answer about what's right or wrong. It's what's being taught in our educational places, universities, colleges, even high schools now. According to postmodernists, claiming that your answer is the right answer is both arrogant and intolerant. Our postmodern world is one based on constantly shifting standards of right and wrong, in which there is no such thing as absolute truth. Can you imagine? Jesus said, "I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. There is a truth. Truth has a face, and it's Jesus Christ. Those setting forth fixed absolute judgments about reality or morality, such as Christians, are dismissed as being intolerant. We've been pushed out of the social stage. It's time to win that back. It's time to win that position back. Not so that we can be noticed, but so that Christ can be glorified. Amen. Not so that we can be have all that in a bag of chips. Not so we can win our way back to being accepted again. We probably will never be accepted again like we should. But there will be voices that hear and will be saved and turned around. That Jesus might be glorified. Living in this time demands that we are able to give an answer to those who ask. Our hope and our faith is what we are approaching a tipping point that would turn from this modernism back to a Christian worldview. The only way that that's going to happen is all of us throwing ourselves into where we are as a nation and where we are in history. Turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jude. Actually, it's right before Revelation, Jude, Revelation. Verse 3 says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." What we're facing is not new. Jude, right at the end of the first century church, recognized that there were people creeping in and speaking another gospel. Paul wrote about it in Galatians and Ephesians. Here Jude is saying the same thing. He found it necessary to speak about to the reader about their responsibility to have an answer as to why they believed. He said this, "Contend earnestly for the faith." And this when they had no Bible to refer to. How were they going to contend for the faith? Personal faith, a relationship with God, letting it show in their daily lives. He said men were creeping in unnoticed. How did they go about this? How did they creep in unnoticed? How did they get in there? Little by little by little, scraping away at the faith of those that are weak. We must strengthen who we are in Christ. Spend time with your family. Men, spend time with your wives. Spend time with the young people. Teach them about their relationship with Christ and obedience to God and being led by the Holy Spirit. I thank God in my life that men and women spent time with me, took time with me. And we need to take time with folks and let them know that they can hear from the Holy Ghost. Come on, someone. Young believers, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. I got news for you. If you're saved, you've got an in with God. God can speak to your heart and will speak to your heart, and I contend does speak to your heart. All you got to do is listen. He's faithful. You say, "Well, the Bible's a strange book to me." Well, read it. Ask the Lord before you start to read and after you're done. Holy Spirit, give me insight. What are you saying? Amen. Just pray a small prayer before you read. Holy Spirit, give me insight. And guess what He does? He gives you insight. Why? Because that's what He does. The Holy Spirit's not challenged by you. He's figured you out by now. He knows what you need. And He'll speak to you very clearly. That's His job, not yours. Your job is to yield. His job is to teach. Come on, somebody. And it's just as natural as it is for us to learn how to motivate in this natural world. Come on, somebody. Everybody get up this morning and put your clothes on and came to church. You just naturally knew what to do. Come on, someone. Supernatural visitation by the Holy Spirit is something that's normal for the Christian. It's not something that's askew or something that's special. Only a few people have. All of us can hear from God. Same way. Amen. Same way. All of us. And so when God wants to speak through us and use us and our relationship with God for the unbeliever, that's how we contend for the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith. Ungodliness is at an epidemic proportion in our world today, and we can no longer ignore it. We need to speak of it. Whatever room that God has given us, He gives us grace, He gives us mercy, He gives us divine appointments. And we must speak. We can no longer say it's isolated, it's everywhere, it needs to be addressed. in the strongest possible terms. Why? Not so we can be right, but that those that are being drawn by the Holy Ghost can hear what the truth is. We dare not leave it to a tract or to a cassette tape or whatever you're handing people nowadays. Oh, get on YouTube and listen to this. Don't take for granted that people are going to listen to you. You share your hope and your love for Jesus Christ. It needs to be done in love, in patience, and in mercy. But it needs to be done. It's not a matter of differing opinions. It's denial of God and of Christ. Listen to what Galatians 1 verse 6 says. I marvel that you are turning away so soon, Paul says, from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let it be accursed, as we have said before. So now we say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let it be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. The Bible encourages us. Paul writes Timothy and says, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not popular. It's not a popular thing to preach anymore. Confrontation with darkness will yield many times misunderstanding, abuse, and persecution. But these are souls we're talking about. These are people that normally would go to hell without hearing the word. I believe a special dispensation is upon us. I believe the great harvest is upon us. I believe the greatest revival that the world has ever seen is getting ready to happen. Jude chapter 1, going back to Jude, verse 8 says, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. It's one thing to have the lost speaking evil of dignitaries. It's quite another thing with those that have Christian in front of their names. He goes on to say in verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. And sadly, churches are full of them that have preached another gospel and believed another gospel. It's the American gospel, and it's wrong. We can't export that anymore. Must get back to the pure word of God. The same thing Jude was encouraging back in the first century. 2,000 years later, we're right back there where the gospel must be preached. Unbelievably, false teachers are welcomed into our homes. All I'm saying is filter through the Holy Spirit what you're listening to. Make sure they are biblically sound. If there's a question, stop. People you listen to, get on their website. Find out what they believe. I'm amazed. I have conversations with people all the time. I heard this guy and that guy, and I've asked, do you know what they believe? Well, they're Christians, aren't they? Well, no, they're not. They've parsed the word. They only believe what their sect or their denomination believes. They're not a full gospel church. Come on, somebody. Verse 15 in Jude says, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they committed in an ungodly way and all of the harsh things which ungodly people have spoken. I do not have the rest of my message. Where did it go? Verse That's all right. Now to him, or it says, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. These are grumblers, verse 16, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those who used to believe. He's not talking about sinners. Verse 19, these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. The mark of false doctrines and false spirituality are ungodly deeds, ungodly ways, ungodly sinners, grumblers, complainers, walking in lust, sensual persons, causing divisions. Friends, we must expose the lie. Say, well, can you pass that to somebody else? And somebody else handle, Pastor, can you do that for us? No, I can't. I can't possibly touch the people that you're going to touch with your life. Can't possibly do it. Matter of fact, when people have asked me to come in and pinch hit, it usually goes awkward. Come on, someone. It's not magic. It's anointing. And you have it. We must expose this lie. How? Here's just a couple of things in closing. First, you've got to live the life. Get rid of compromise in your life. Guard your tongue. Do not give yourself to worldly appetites. Don't allow yourself to be seen as a hypocrite. Come on, someone. That's the first thing that people are looking for. Well, you say this, but you do that. Guard your tongue. Guard your life. Secondly, ask God to use you. Be ready at any time to defend the faith. With your mouth, speak up. With your discretionary spending, what you support, with your votes, with your actions. Thirdly, and lastly, with your prayers. Pray. Don't let someone else pray for you. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your coworker. Pray for your relative. That God would give you a word in season for them. Come on, someone. We prayed in a prayer room this morning about the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. There's nothing like walking up to somebody that you work with or a relative and saying, you know, this is what you've been thinking. Here's what God thinks. How did you know that I was thinking that? God told me. How many know that'll get someone? It works. I've given the testimony about Lorraine Townsend, who's with Jesus now. She was my mother in the faith. She used to write me letters. God told her, she prayed, how do I reach Rick? How do I reach Rick? He says, write him a letter. So she'd write letters and fill it with Scripture. Carry it around in her Bible and pray and cry and anoint it and all kinds of stuff. She'd send it to me, and I'd open the letter and read the entire thing. Why did I read the whole thing? I don't know. I know now it was God. I knew what she was going to say, but I'd read it aloud, and Terry and I would laugh about it. But how many know the Scripture was going into my heart and into my heart and into my heart? And when the right time came, I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Come on, somebody. It works if you work it. Just speak it. You may not see it firsthand. She was nowhere around when I got saved, but it was her letters. Right after I said that prayer, she was the first person I called on the phone. And I hated her. I didn't even want to be around her. She was the first person I called. Lorraine, this is Rick Smell. I just received Jesus Christ. I thought she was going to have a heart attack. Screaming on the other end of the phone. Couldn't get her to settle down. Lorraine, this is Rick. I know who it is. But she would never back down. Every time she saw me, she'd say, Jesus loves you. I would make fun of her. I would curse her as she was walking away. I know she heard me cursing her. Jesus loves you. She said she wanted to brain me. She wanted to take a hammer and knock my head off. But she prayed for me. It's time to finally reveal the absolute lie the enemy has perpetrated on our society. It's time for it to be exposed. We live in a generation that's turned their back on God. It's time to turn them around. And we do that by loving them and praying for them and speaking when it's time to speak. Exercise your authority, church. You are God's representative and God will use you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony this morning. A man takes a Bible and throws it on a roof and a man's hit in the head with it. How positive is that message? Somebody says, what are these books doing here? And throws them out of a helicopter. They land right beside somebody that's seeking your face. God, these are not happenstance things. Lord, we want to see not only these things happen, they shouldn't be the exception, they should be the rule. God, you have your representatives everywhere. We're your sons and your daughters. God, we are candidates for your anointing. Please use each and every one of us in this time, especially in this hour, God, that we would share boldly and confidently our faith, that many would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe for those that have backslidden, those that have been discouraged, those that have been given a wrong message, God, that you would turn them around. God, we believe for the lost, that they would be drawn to you. Father, the fields are white unto harvest. Lord, send laborers. Send us, God, into the harvest field. We give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here. God bless you. Thank you so much.